Good morning, this is Sunday Dharma Talk on Radio Thailand. Every week on Sunday, we will be here meeting you, and different week, different day will be different master coming to talk to you. And on the third week and the fifth week, that will be my turn. My name is Pra Paibun Apipunno from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Aisok in Udon Thani. Every time I coming and meeting you to talk about the teaching of the Buddha, of course. And this teaching of the Buddha, the objective, the highest goal, to gain an enlightenment, to enter to the Nibbana. And how would one knows that they already gain an enlightenment, they already have the Nibbana? Or if someone tell you they are enlightened, or how would you know that the experience you are encounter while you sitting down and meditate would add a Nibbana? And the method of exposition, there is such a method. Listen to this word of the Buddha. This is what he said. There is a method of exposition by means of which one, apart from faith, apart from personal preference, apart from moral tradition, apart from reasoned reflection, apart from acceptance of a view after pondering it, can declare final knowledge. Thus, destroyed is birth, there is no more of this state of being. And what is that method of exposition? Here, having seen a form with the eye, if there is lust, hatred, or delusion internally, one understands there is lust, hatred, or delusion internally. Or if there is no lust, hatred, or delusion internally, he understands there is no lust, hatred, or delusion internally. Since this is so, are these things to be understood by faith, or by personal preference, or by oral tradition, or by reason, reflections, or by acceptance of a view after pondering it? And the bhikkhus reply, No, Venerable Sir. Aren't these things to be understood by seeing them with wisdom? Yes, Venerable Sir. This is the method of exposition, by means of which one can declare final knowledge. Thus, destroyed is birth, there is no more for this state of being. Having heard a sound with the ear, having smelled and odored with the nose, having experienced a taste with the tongue, having felt a tactile object with the body, having cognized a mental phenomenon with the mind, if there is lust, hatred, or delusion internally, one understands there is lust, hatred, or delusion internally. Or if there is no lust, hatred, or delusion internally, he understands there is no lust, hatred, or delusion internally. Since this is so, are these things to be understood by faith, or by personal preference, or by oral tradition, or by reason reflection, or by acceptance of a view after pondering it? No, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhus, aren't these things to be understood by seeing them with wisdom? Yes, Venerable Sir. This, Bhikkhus, is the method of exposition, by means of which one, apart from faith, apart from personal preference, apart from oral tradition, apart from reasoned reflection, apart from acceptance of a view after pondering it, can declare final knowledge. Thus, destroyed is birth, the holy life has been lived, what had to be done has been done, there is no more for this state of being. And this is the method, listener. How do you declare the final knowledge? If someone declare the final knowledge, that they are enlightened. So this is the mean in which you can measure. Mean in which this is measured by the context that one person experienced. The forms through the eyes, the sound through the ears, we have six faculties of senses, right? So with all these six faculties of senses, is the birthplace of the defilement. If there is contact into your mind, and if your mind are still poisoned by the ignorance, so this defilement can occur. But for the one who attained the final knowledge, if the defilement occurs, they have this mindful. They are mindfulness. They are aware, fully comprehension about their mind. This is a key. For someone to become an arahant, they are mindfulness. They have to have the mindfulness, completely mindful about the contact that coming into their life. Same thing when you trying to see things through your eyes, listening sounds through your ears, you need to guard your senses. You need to guard your faculty of senses. And to guard, you need to have the establishment of the mindfulness. How do you practice to be mindful about your own mind? The way to practice to be mindful about your own mind, you need to have the point of recollection. So let's go back to the definition of what is mindfulness, what is the awareness. The Buddha have this simile as the gatekeeper in the King Frontier Fortress. This is what he said. Just as the gatekeeper in the King's Frontier Fortress is wise, competent, and intelligent, one who keeps out strangers and admits the acquaintance for protecting its inhabitants and for warding off outsiders. So too, a noble disciple is mindful, possessing supreme mindfulness and alertness, one who remembers and recollects what was done and said long ago. With mindfulness as his gatekeeper, the noble disciple abandons the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandons what is blameworthy, and develops what is blameless, and maintains himself in purity. So the definition of the mindfulness, or the awareness, or the alertness, is to remember or recollect. How do you remember or recollect? So the key to be able to recollect, you need to have a point of recollections. So the point of recollections is called the establishment of mindfulness. So in this case, we use our own breath, inhales and exhales. When you breathe in and breathe out, you observe the contact point. When the air flowing in through your nose, it touches the nostril. When the air touches your nostril, inside your nostril, you use that point, use that spot as the point of recollection. Recollect means put your mind there, focus there, focus on the spot where you can feel the touches of your breath inside your nostril. So that would be the point of recollection. And when you observe your own breath, and this is called breathing meditation, establish the mindfulness through the breathing. You use your own breath because the breathing in and breathing out is moving. The breath is constantly moving in and moving out. So if we use the breath at in and out as an observation point, that will be quite difficult for someone to just follow the breath. So the key here is stay put on one spot. So the spot in this case, we use the spot where you can feel the touches of your own breath inside your nostril. When you start to observe your own breath, you can actually close your eyes or you can open your eyes. Because you got to breathe anyway, whether you open eyes or close eyes, you can do it while you're sitting down, or you're walking, or you're driving, or you do other activities, because you have to breathe anyway. When the air passing through your nostril, in and out, and that is the mindfulness. For someone who practice this mindfulness awareness and be aware, alert of their own mind. So when the mind stay alert and aware on this spot all the time, the mind, it doesn't be bind or bondage with other contacts. When the contacts come in touch in your mind, say the eyes contacts, the ear contacts, if those things are unpleasant one, if those things are pleasant, neither pleasant or unpleasant, if the mind don't have the point of recollection, if the mind there is no hanging point, so-called, the mind may be enslaved by the contacts. Let's look at our own life today. When you receive a phone call, or when you watch a television, or when you drive, or when you eat something, all these contacts will try to pull away your mind. Your mind may be dragged by all these contacts. Let's say people say something bad about someone. If we get mad at it, that means our mind been pulled, our mind been dragged by those contacts, because enslaved by those emotion that occurred from that contact. Sometimes there's hatred, sometimes there's desire, sometimes there's ill will. So all these things will occur after the contacts come into your own mind. So what we need to have here is a gatekeeper. You know, when those contact is coming through the door to your own mind, your own body, our own mind have there are six doors to our own mind, which is the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the touch, and the mental objects. All these six doors is the doors to your own mind. When the door open and there is no gatekeeper, everybody, whether the outsider, acquaintance, or stranger, can come in and go out. And this is very dangerous. Imagine your own house. Let's say your own house, there's no door, no people, lock the door. You know, the robber can come anytime, steal a lot, anything, right? So to protect, you need to close your door, lock the door. Only the one who has the key can come in. Same thing, the door into your mind. If those unpleasant or something blameworthy, something that unwholesome activities come into your mind through those doors, you need to guard your own door. That's why we need to keep the gatekeeper into those six doors. What are the gatekeeper? In this case, that is the mindfulness, the awareness, the alertness. We practice and train our gatekeeper to recognize the outsider, recognize the stranger. Okay, this is the acquaintance, this is the inhabitant, right? So we let them in. Those pleasant feeling, those wholesome activities, those blameless. When you develop your mindfulness, develop your awareness to aware of those blameless, those wholesome action, those good activities, good deed, then let them in and protect and do not let those blameworthy, those unwholesome, those bad things come into your mind. And that's called when you guard your own door. But sometimes the defilement, the lust, hatred or delusion happen. When that happen, if you still are mindful of your own mind, so that is called the point where you be aware of yourself. The mind and those defilement are two different entities. But if we don't have the mindfulness, right, sometimes we recognize those defilement as our own mind. But there is different things. Let's imagine this, the lotus or the lotus leaf. If you ever test, use the lotus leaf and the water, drop a few drop of water onto the lotus leaf, you can see that the lotus leaf is not adhered to the water. The water doesn't adhere to the lotus leaf. it just doesn't stick. It just fall off the lotus leaf. Same thing if our mind have the mindfulness. When those defilements occur, you know, sometimes with the bad contacts, the unpleasant contact, we feel lust, hatred, or delusion. But if the mindfulness guard your own mind, the mind will be one entity. The lust, the defilement, will be another entity. But for those who have no mindfulness, who are never practiced, never aware of their own mind, they will know what's going on with themselves. When those contacts come in and bring along the defilement, by the way, the defilement actually occurred inside your own mind. It's just like a rust on the iron. If you look at the iron, it can be rusty. Those rusts occur from the iron, but the environment sometimes can stimulate the oxidation that's happening. When the iron starts to oxidize, that will become rust. It turns to rust. So those rusts will eat away the iron, will eat away those metal. The environment can play a very important part for this oxidation process. Same thing, the defilement, which is comparable to the rust, can happen into your own mind or anyone's mind if those environments are appropriate for them. These environments means the contacts that come into your life, the eyes, the ears, from these six doors. So you need to be careful and mindful and guard your contact, guard the faculty of senses. And if you guard your faculty of senses completely, meaning you are supreme mindfulness, and that what will happen is, it's just like a lotus leaf. When the water drop on the lotus leaf, it doesn't adhere to it. Same thing if there is anything happening, whether through the eyes, the ears, the nose, anything that happening, whether present feeling, unpleasant feeling, lust, hatred, ill will, delusion, whatever, it will not adhere to your mind. The mind is one entity, the other things is another entity. So this is the state of where you want to be, because you will be free from those that are coming into contact. You can choose whether how do you respond, whether you respond positively, or how are you going to respond. But for those people who are no freedom, they will be just pulled, or they will be just being controlled by those contacts that come into their life. But if you will be able to choose how to respond, how do you choose to respond? You choose by being free from them first, being detached from what you see, what you hear, what you feel. Being detached doesn't mean you don't feel things. You can feel things, but those things doesn't adhere to your mind. Detached is a result of clinging. Someone cling on something, that because of the desire. The desire is a cause of the suffering. If you have desire on anything, those things your mind can cling on to. If your mind can cling on to those things you get attached to, when those things you are attached to, they change. If they change, people change, things change, the environment change, you will bound to be suffered by those things that you are attached to. So to be detached from those things that come into contact with your life, it doesn't mean you don't touch them, you don't contact them. To be able to detach, the mindfulness is play a very important part. The aware of your own mind. Your mind is one thing. Those things that come into your life is another thing. It's a separate entity. To be able to separate them, you need to be aware of your own mind. To be able to aware of your own mind, you need a point of recollection. The point of recollection in this case that we are practicing is use your own breath as the point of recollection, as the point of awareness. You're aware of your own breath. Use your breath as the point of recollection. Use your own breathing as the point of awareness. Be mindful there. By being aware of your own breath means your mind doesn't cling onto those contacts that come into your life. When you're aware of your own breath, and when you practice, you can actually gain this state of supreme mindfulness. When you have this state of the supreme mindfulness, and that's where you point the point where you understand that if there is lust, or there's a hatred, or if there is a ill will, you aware, you understand that there is this thing when there's a contact. If when there's contact happened, you also aware, understand that there is no lust, hatred, and ill will. And this where or how you can declare the final knowledge. Or if someone say that they gain an enlightenment, this is the way to check. One more thing that I want you to know today on Sunday Dhamma Talk is that your mind and your body are just like a fortress, one of the city that need to be protected. The fortress of the king, frontier fortress. I would like you to listen to this sutta that elaborated by the Buddha. This is what he said. Because just as the pillar in the king's frontier fortress has a deep base and is securely planted, immobile and unshakable, for the purpose of protecting its inhabitants and for warding off outsiders, so too, the noble disciple is endowed with faith. He places faith in the enlightenment of the Buddha. First, the Blessed One is an Arahant, perfectly enlightened one, accomplished in true knowledge and conduct, fortunate, knower of the world, unsurpassed trainer of person to be tamed, teacher of devas and humans, the enlightened one, the blessed one. With faith as his pillar, the noble disciple abandons the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandons what is blameworthy and develops what is blameless, and maintain himself in purity. Just as the mode in the king's frontier fortress is dark, deep, and wide, for the purpose of protecting its inhabitants and for warding off the outsiders, so too, a noble disciple has a sense of moral shame. He is ashamed of bodily, verbal, and mental misconduct. He is ashamed of acquiring bad, unwholesome qualities. With a sense of moral shame as the mode, the noble disciple abandons the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandons what is blameworthy, and develops what is blameless, and maintains himself in purity. Or just like a petrol path in the king's frontier fortress is high and wide, for the purpose of protecting its inhabitants and for warding off the outsiders. So too, a noble disciple dreads wrongdoing. He dreads bodily, verbal, and mental misconduct. He dreads acquiring bad, unwholesome quality. With moral dreads as petrol path, the noble disciple abandoned the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandoned what is blameworthy, and develops what is blameless, and maintained himself in purity. Or just as many weapons, both missiles and hand weapons, are stored in the king's frontier fortress, for the purpose of protecting its inhabitants and for warding off outsiders, so too, a noble disciple has learned much. Remember what he had learned and accumulates what he has learned. Those teachings that are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, with the right meaning and phrasing, which proclaimed the perfectly complete and pure spirit life. Such teachings as these he had learned much of, retained in mind, recited verbally, mentally investigated and penetrated well by view, with learning as his weaponry. The noble disciples abandon the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandon what is blameworthy and develops what is blameless, and maintain himself in purity. Or just as many kinds of troops reside in the king's frontier fortress, that is, elephant troops, cavalry, charioteers, archers, standard bearers, camp marshals, foot soldiers, arquebus warriors, frontier commandos, great bull warriors, attack soldiers, shoe-bearing soldiers, domestic slave soldiers, for protecting its inhabitants and for warding off outsiders. So too, a noble disciple has aroused energy for abandoning unwholesome qualities and acquiring wholesome qualities. He is strong, firm in exertion, not casting off the duty of cultivating wholesome qualities. With energy as his troops, the noble disciple abandons the unwholesome, develop the wholesome, abandon what is blameworthy, and develop what is blameless, and maintain himself in purity. Just as the rampart in a king's frontier fortress is high and wide, covered over by a coat of plaster, for protecting its inhabitants and for warding off outsiders, so too, a noble disciple is wise. He possesses the wisdom that discerns arising and passing away, which is noble and penetrative, and leads to the complete destruction of suffering. With wisdom as his coat of plaster, the noble disciple abandons the unwholesome and develops the wholesome, abandons what is blameworthy and develops what is blameless, and maintains himself in purity. And this is a simile. It's just like the fortress. You need to protect your own fortress. You need to have the pillar, the strong pillar, that is the faith. You need to have mold. You need to have a petrol path. That is the sense of moral shame and dread as the petrol path. Also in the city, in the fortress, you need to have a weapon. And this weapon is a learning. Use your learning as the weapon. Same thing inside your mind. You need to have the energy, arouse energy. And that is the troops. And also the gatekeeper is very important. If your fortress, which is your own mind and your own body, have this gatekeeper, very good, very smart gatekeeper, have a very strong troops, which is the aroused energy, have the weapon, which is the learning, have the pillar, which is the faith, have the petrol path, which is the moral dread, has mold, with this, the sense of moral shame, you can protect your own city. And this is the Sunday Dhamma Talk on Radio Thailand. My name is Pra Paiboon, a people know from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Hai Sok, in Ulon Thani. See you next week. Goodbye.